Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Audio Boom, wherever podcasts are found. Also, give it a follow on social media. It's at Locked On Pels. You can search it and like it on Facebook. Just search Locked On Pelicans. Today, I got a great podcast for you all covering kind of two different things. Want to talk a little bit about the NBA Finals, Game 1 and 2. Give some of my thoughts here on this. There's a lot to take away from these two blowouts that have been kind of disappointing, and also just saw an interesting note about the ratings for both of these first two games so far that maybe cast into doubt a little bit of the notion that these are boring NBA playoffs and it's hurting the sport as a whole, because the numbers look quite good from a ratings perspective, though. Wonder if that's going to be the case for Game 3 if that keeps up once it shifts to Cleveland after these two blowouts. Also going to highlight a prospect I was asked about, and this is a guy I really like. I think he'll be there at 44, the Pelicans. Stay tuned to find out who that is, why I think he's a good fit. And if he's there, you know, he's probably in my top three favorite guys so far when it comes to second round picks. So a lot to cover in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, which is brought to you by SeatGeek. Before we jump into everything today, you know, you could join the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Podcast Network is hiring a national sales manager. Be part of the fastest growing sports podcast network, selling the NBA channel, NFL channel, and entire network to national advertisers. If you have the skills, the perseverance, and the game to be part of the Locked On Podcast Network, email lockedonpodcast@gmail.com with your resume. That's lockedonpodcast@gmail.com. All right, let's jump into the NBA Finals and the Cavs being down 0-2 after a 132-113 beatdown, pretty much. That was very ugly, and I really don't get what's going on with the Cavaliers. They're kind of hell-bent on playing right into what the Warriors want to do, which is that run-and-gun style and, you know, kind of keep it a track meet between these two teams. And they're averaging, over the three finals they've had, basically, if you looked at like the pace of each possession and how quickly they're doing everything, the Cavs would rank second in the league. That's how fast they're trying to play. Whereas in the first two NBA finals where they played the Warriors, it was much slower and in the like 28th through 30th rank in the league. So they're playing significantly faster than they have these past couple of finals. And I don't know if that's what they want to do. It plays into having a running team that now has the added bonus of kind of a LeBron James stopper, in a sense, of Kevin Durant, where he's not stopping him. We saw him go for the triple-double the other night, and he's averaging a triple-double over these first two games. But you have Durant able to slow him down, and if he just gets one or two defensive stops or plays every now and then, he can really turn the tide with all of a sudden hitting the fast break. He had that block a couple of times, which turns into a dunk or a three-pointer made by him. And it's a mess if you're the Cavaliers, because it leaves your defense out to dry, because the Warriors love this. Come at them with a looser style and attack them. And if they get a stop, they're out and running, and it's an easy, uncontested bucket for them, more or less. So I don't know why the Cavs wouldn't try and slow it down, get them out of their kind of style of play a little bit, and just, you know, kind of slow the game, try and take fewer possessions away. Because when Golden State's launching threes, if you can at least minimize the amount they're taking, they can't, you know, they're still going to hurt you. But it's better if they hit one three than it is them hitting three threes. And they're going to do that, you know, largely over the whole game with a lot of possessions. But try and minimize the possessions, whereas if they do miss, you can punish them a little bit. And it's not like they're just going to come right back down the court and hit another one or get another attempt or something like that if you slow the game down a little bit. some other things to take away, and one of them is going to be really what happened over these first two games is when the Cavaliers used Channing Frye and tried to put him in at center, the Warriors immediately countered and went small every time. And this should worry you if you're a Pelicans fan, because you need to have another playing style that works other than just having the two bigs in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. And I think the Pels will. I think with the addition of Chris Finch, you're going to see that two big offense really work in kind of a different style. It's not two traditional bigs, because you're kind of running a point forward or point boogie there. But beyond that, you know, you can get forced into bad switches, unfavorable matchups where speed can kill you. And if all of a sudden you have both Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins trying to defend people out on the perimeter, they're going to get blown by at times and allow easy scores inside the paint when there's no one back there to contest it in the form of a big. You're looking then at, you know, someone like Solomon Hill having to rotate over and do it potentially. And that's going to allow a lot of looks at the rim and a lot of points in the paint, which you would like to take away if you're the Pelicans. But with the Finch offense, I think you're still going to see this team run some too, where you'll see one of the bigs out there just at a time and kind of that transition style of ball that we saw them do with DeMarcus Cousins and Davis after the trade at separate times, and it still worked. That can counter it a little bit, where you can still function offensively in a smaller lineup and it's going to be different. So I don't think this is going to be a sea change when it comes to the Pelicans offense, because if you see this, good teams will counter you and play small and it will work. And the Pels can't do that if this, you know, doesn't work. This whole experiment of two bigs, you may as well just blow this team up. But you still need to be able to counter kind of the counter to you, the anti-counter. I don't know where what the right terminology is here, but kind of, you know, it's like a rock, paper, scissor type thing. They counter you, you need to be able to counter back. And the Pels should still be able to do that, assuming they keep some of these guys. Dante Cunningham would be a key one for that as well, kind of to play small. But man, when they switch out and put Channing Frye out there, you know, the Warriors have just gone small and killed them because they're getting favorable matchups and matchups they like and mismatches. And something the Pels need to keep in mind: if you trot these two bigs out there for 40 something minutes a game, maybe 36 minutes a game, maybe 40 with both of them out on the court total, you're going to have a lot of trouble when teams go really small against you. And you saw where Durant was playing center. You've got Draymond Green playing center for them in that death lineup. And you need a way to counter that. So Pelicans really need to keep that in mind when looking at people this free agency. You still need to be able to go small, even though your offense is going to be built around Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. So while I'm hopeful we'll get to see a close game on Wednesday when this switches to Cleveland, the just disparity in talent is so obvious for these two teams, and this Warriors team on paper has to be probably considered the all-time great, especially if they end up sweeping the series, which I'm really hopeful they won't do. But you've got, you know, again, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Durant, Draymond, and all of these guys who are playing well. And then you've got LeBron James, Kyrie, and Love. Love's playing tremendous basketball, both offensively and defensively. But after that, they're just not getting contributions right now for J.R. Smith, who doesn't really, I think he's got 3 points over both games combined. Tristan Thompson hasn't really been a huge factor for them when he really needs to. He needs to, you know, people like to refer to him as kind of a Dennis Rodman type player. He's so far from that, and that's such a bad comparison because, man, he has just kind of been a non-factor for this team at times. Kyle Korver's not hitting shots like he really needs to. He's been blocked from the three-point line because of the length of Golden State. Channing Frye not doing much. Darren Williams, not that we are expecting Williams to do much, but just overall needs more help around LeBron James and the numbers he's putting up. And Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving can only do so much, and it's very disappointing, especially once you get kind of, like I said in the beginning part of this, a LeBron stopper-ish in Kevin Durant who can at least slow him down. By the way, today's edition of Locked On Pelicans brought to you by SeatGeek, and you guys have heard me talk about them a lot, and I mention it because I truly do mean it and use it, and SeatGeek is just the best way to get in on the action. Yeah, just because basketball season's over doesn't mean there still isn't college baseball left going on, other sports going on, and concerts, and SeatGeek can be used for all of that. The SeatGeek app makes it simple just to search for tickets. They're going to give you the best prices. Things can be listed in various amounts on different sites. SeatGeek's going to consolidate all of that to you, show you the lowest price, so you're getting your value right then and there. They also rate the tickets on a grade so you know what really is a better value than another one. That's a wonderful tool as well. You work hard for your money. You want to be able to maximize it. And we've got a promo running here for Locked On Pelicans listeners. Download the SeatGeek app today from the Google Play Store, the iTunes Store, wherever you get your apps for. Download the SeatGeek app, go to settings, enter promo code, and put in LO Pelicans. LO Pelicans, you're going to get a $20 rebate for your first purchase. That's money back for something you were going to buy anyway. It's a great way to get in on the action, to find last-minute deals, to find good tickets at the lowest price. I use it personally. Download the SeatGeek app today, put in the promo code LO Pelicans, and make sure you're in on the action. So let's switch gears and talk a little bit about the NBA draft. Pelicans, as you know, with the 40th pick in the NBA draft, the second round, 10th overall there, but 40th overall in the NBA draft. And we've been talking some prospects, people they've gone to watch, people they've been linked to. I've got another one that has been asked a couple of times to me. This is a guy I really like, and I want to talk about Nigel Williams-Gross. Point guard, he's a junior out of Gonzaga, 6'3", weighs about 190 pounds, so pretty good size, actually. And this is a guy that, well, let's go over his basic stats first. So, started Washington, where he played for his first 2 years, then transferred to Gonzaga after redshirting a year. Averaged 16.8 points per game last season as their starter. So, basically 17 points per game. Averaged, or he shot from three, 36.8%. So, pretty good three-point shooting percentage on a little over one attempt per game. So, not a huge high-volume number there. It scored his 17 points basically on 12 shots, got to the line a good bit, hit 86.7% of his free throws, which is a very good number because free throw shooting is what largely projects to the NBA level to show who's going to be a good shooter and who isn't. It's actually more so than field goal percentage at times if you look at the right correlation. So an 86.7% shooter from the line, which is really good, averaged 6 rebounds per game, 4.7 assists. Doesn't really turn the ball over as much. His numbers have gone down every year he's been around. So good numbers overall. And the way you look at him is kind of an efficient score. 70 points on 12 shots is not outstanding, but that's still very good number. And this is a guy who is kind of slow. Those are when you read about him and look at his game. The biggest weaknesses are the lack of athleticism. He's not necessarily going to get to the rim a whole lot. You kind of worry about that there if he's going to be able to finish through contact, though the size helps him a little bit. But he's going to struggle on defense for the team. And I want to talk about the weaknesses first, and I'll explain why as we go on here. But he's going to have trouble containing point guards, shooting guards. You don't really want him switching a whole lot because he can get burned. I wonder if he's going to be able to fight through picks and different things like that. So it's going to be kind of interesting. The lack of, you know, athleticism, you've got to wonder about him running a pick and roll and being able to turn the corner. So it'll be a little bit hard. The good news is he has played in an up-tempo system. And this is what I was talking about earlier. You're not going to be able to play the slower offense with both Davis and Cousins all the time. Your second unit probably is going to play a little bit quicker, and this is a guy who can really fit into that. He's got tremendous basketball IQ and just like this drive you haven't really seen. He's basically the type of guy who doesn't want to, he's going to do everything he can to not let his team lose. And frankly, for a second unit ball handler who's smart, can make the right passes and push the offense a little bit and rebound well, that's not bad. I like that out of him. He plays very under control. Like I said, the turnovers were low. He got a very good assist to turnover ratio. He can dribble in traffic and get through, you know, traffic by dribbling around a little bit. You know, I'd like to see him hit a little bit more of his three-pointers, but his release is really good, and I think he projects well to be a good NBA shooter. Maybe not a starter, spot starter at times, kind of like a Tim Frazier type role, but overall, this is a guy who could lead the Pelicans' second unit sometime in the future and maybe make an impact right away. He's got a good wingspan, 6'7", so size and things like that are NBA ready. It's just the defense, I think, is really going to hurt him overall when it comes to it, along with the athleticism, and he just doesn't have the potential that some other guys are going to get. But the Pels don't need that. They need a solid ball player, and Nigel Williams-Gross, point guard out of Gonzaga, certainly is a guy I think fits that bill. And if he's available at 40, expect the Pelicans to seriously consider taking him. But I don't see him going in the first round at all. I think he will be there at 40, maybe even undrafted potentially, and he'd be an excellent fit on this Pelicans team. So that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Going to be highlighting more second-round prospects the rest of the week and into next week as well. Probably do one a day, especially if you guys have any questions about certain ones. Tweet them at me, at Nola Jake or at Locked On Pels. I'll check it, maybe talk about them here on the podcast. Also, Preston Ellis over at Pelican Debrief asked me about doing a podcast for maybe trade targets where the Pelicans are helping to facilitate other teams make deals. I have one planned on that. I have some targets in mind, and I'm going to talk about that closer to free agency because that's where you're going to see that happen when teams are trying to make room to sign other guys. Though I don't know if the Pels are going to be a huge player in that market, but there are certain, you know, ways they should try and grease these wheels and insert them as the third team into certain trades to help other teams get the guys that they want in free agency. So thank you all for listening to Locked On Pelicans today. A lot more to cover the rest of this week. Should be a lot of fun, along with the NBA Finals. Probably have a few interviews lined up as well, so it should be a good time. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.